Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and a way to go within to find your true self. It is my great pleasure to welcome Kiyoshi Shimada, the representative for Master Ryoho Okawa, author of Messages from Heaven, founder of Happy Science, a spiritual movement dedicated to bringing greater happiness to humankind. Hello, Mr. Shimada.
Hello, my name is Kiyoshi Shimada. Nice to meet you and talking to you.
Yes, and welcome. Kiyoshi, as
yes.
Listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guest and I search the metaphysical worlds of thought and action for greater clarity in understanding our spiritual or soul essence and how it aligns to our physical life and world. In understanding energy and the universal laws of spirit, we can, I believe, create and live more purposeful lives. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Mr. Shimada will share with us how Ryoho Okawa began to receive spiritual messages from heaven in 1981 and how holy beings appeared before him with impassioned messages urging him to deliver God's words to earth. His communications with heaven deepened an understanding of God's truths. Ryoho Okawa is a renowned author in Japan with a simple goal, to help humankind overcome religious and cultural conflicts and achieve peace. We may discover God's intentions and designs, how God created our souls, all worlds, and the laws that are the fabric of the universe. Kiyoshi, I often ask my guests to think back to their childhood for a memory that might reveal the interest, talents, and values which may have been evident at that beginning time and which ultimately lead to the life values and work you do now. And also, can you tell us something of Master Okawa's early beginning?
All right. So let me just introduce Master Ryoho Okawa, whom I've been following his teaching for last 70 years. And he was born 1956, so that means he is now 58 years old. And this activity in Japan of Happy Science has been done 29 years. And we now have about 500 temples and branch offices all over the world, and mainly in Japan, 400 temples. But we are trying to spread this teaching to all over the world. In the United States itself, we have San Francisco Temple, Los Angeles Temple, and New York Temple, and the branch offices in Atlanta, Florida, Orange County, San Diego, and if you look at Canada, Vancouver and Toronto. So we are there to help people to attain happinesses with wisdom. By the teachings of Master Ryoho Okawa. So he has spiritual powers like clairvoyance, spiritual sight to see spiritual beings, and a clear audience, ability to hear the voices of spirits, and a mind reading and understand what's in people's mind, and also fate reading, ability to see one's past, present, and the future. And also he has he has ability to do astral travel, so-called out-of-body experience, and his soul can go out of the body and go to the spiritual world to see what's going on. So those kind of spiritual powers that he has been revealed to humankind, and he has published more than 1,800 books already. So we are learning the truth.
All right. And this truth, as I have learned myself over the last 20 years through meditation and Reiki energy healing and mediumship, is very simple And we all can utilize this for our development and to improve the quality of the world. And that is, we are spiritual beings having a physical life. And we have the personal power within us, or the divine spark of the universe, to connect to this world of wisdom and learn how to live more cooperatively together. I honor him, and I honor all the workers who are listening right now out there for developing their abilities and going forward into the world to share this with others. Let's go on. Now, he began to receive spiritual messages. Who did he believe the messages were coming from? Who were some of the guides or people that he began to download or communicate with?
The first spiritual being who was contacting him was one of the monks in a Buddhism, and so that moment he was thinking, oh, maybe his past life was in one of the monks in the Buddhism. But the more he receives, the more he himself understood, was starting understanding, oh, he is beyond that. So naturally, his the spirit beings who is contacting him is kind of changing. Like sometimes, suddenly Jesus Christ started contacting him, and a Buddha as well, and like Moses and Muhammad. So those great figures started contacting him. So, but the first one was one of the monks in a Buddhism. We believe Nichiren is the first spiritual being.
All right, let's go on there. So we go on to think about self-development, because this show is about self-development and the mastering of emotions so that we can better react to the world and understand what comes from within us and our intentions and our connections to spirit help us to create our life. It's not the outside world necessarily, but from within. So what do you think self-development is? How can we express that to our listeners here?
Okay, so I can say, well, maybe I can introduce some of the words from Buddha in this book, Message from Heaven, that is helping people to think about the setbacks and difficulties.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay, so Buddha says in this book, my people, you must not grieve in the middle of misery. Everything that appears to be a failure, setback, or a source of unhappiness is given to you as an opportunity to refine your soul. Suffering and pain exist only as whetstones for your soul. They are the sandpaper that you can use to refine your soul and make it shine. Learn your lesson and use it to nourish your soul. Return to middle way. Your failures today will help you achieve greater success tomorrow. So we can learn from the words of Buddha, even if I think everybody is suffering something, but we see that those suffering, setbacks, and failures, that's not for letting bring you, bring you down, but as a chance to develop yourself. So if you know, everybody is maybe having problems with parents and siblings, or maybe friends in a school and co-workers at workplace. So in Happy Science, we teach that we ask our parents to be our parents before we were born,
I agree with that, yes.
and the brothers and sisters as well. So especially the people whom you dislike, at workplace, at school, and any place you are around. So that's because the purpose of life is always develop your soul. And if everything going just smooth, it's not your, refining your soul. So that we ask them to be your parents, your brothers and sisters, your friends at school, so you have to meet them on your life.
Yes, I agree. And I think that we experience our greatest happiness when we feel we have grown and then we increase our presence in the world. And so that is self-development in the truest sense of bringing about a positive influence on others through your way of thinking and living. And that's what has been shown in this book, Messages from Heaven. Now, we go on to think about this. This is quite interesting. Most people think that we lose something when we give and that we really get or gain something when we receive, but you express it in another way which encourages self-development and true happiness. Can you tell us about that?
Okay, so that's a good point, because our principle in Happy Science, the first one is love. So if we talk about the love, people are expecting something from other people, you know, something that you can gain from other people. But love itself has to be there is something that you can give. So the more you give, the more you are given. That's the teaching. So like you said, you know, self-development includes two elements. One is, you know, to gain enlightenment, to gain wisdom, to gain lessons. But on the other hand, we are taught increase the capacity of love. So the more you give, the more you are given. And you give without expecting anything in return. That's the love, we call it. And if you expect something in return, that's not love. So we encourage the people to try to give something or do something for good, something good for other people's happiness without expecting anything in return. You will feel, oh, this is a love, and that you are feeling or you are receiving the light or more love from heavenly world.
Yes, you know, in reference to that thought on giving and receiving and feelings of loss, in my book, The Living Spirit, I expressed these ideas of loss by sharing two stories of lost strings, and I wrote this: our loved ones in spirit can even help us by sending us messages about items we have lost. I was reminded of this when my husband David traveled with me to California for a family visit, and he told me he had lost his wedding ring. I have learned to accept loss as a necessary way to find something greater. His ring was found when we returned, and I met another girl who had just lost her engagement ring. I told her how my husband had found his ring and how Spirit had guided him. So while we don't like to lose things, sometimes a loss helps us detach from the material world so we can see the larger world beyond the physical.
I see. Yes, of course, that's a sweet story, though.
Thank you very much.
Because many people don't think that way, and, you know, blame others, blame somebody else.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once we believe, or once we can actually trust there is a heavenly world, after the life after death, and we are actually going back to heaven, and we can only take our mind. So not cars and houses and even, like you said, wedding rings, you know, that you love.
So beautifully said.
Yeah,
we
so,
take our consciousness or our soul.
We cannot take it. So the only thing that we can take is our mind, purified mind. So all things that we can do or we are supposed to do here on the earth is polish our souls.
You go on to talk about, you have a chapter on Jesus and his messages to the world, and you discuss the life and thoughts of Buddha. Tell us about his emphasis in finding one's true self and how it is similar to Jesus' discovery of self-investigation and a connection to the divine.
I think Jesus focuses on love all the time. So this book also sent a message from Jesus. This chapter of Jesus is so beautiful. So he says like this: There is never a person who is completely evil. When we are happy, healthy, and blessed with fortunate circumstances, it takes little effort to encourage those who are miserable, suffering an illness, or living in unfortunate conditions. What matters is what we do when we face bad times. All of us will be tested on how much love we can share during the time of adversity. No matter what we face, we should never stop loving. We should never abandon love. The goal of love is to join everybody's hands together and never let go.
Absolutely.
Real love, real love has no enemies. It is human nature to exaggerate other people's imperfections while minimizing our own shortcomings.
Absolutely. Like absolutely. Well said. And, you know, I know all spiritual leaders share a great truth that is discovered by spiritual seekers. And it's not to fear loneliness. And Master Akawa wrote this: "My beloved disciples, as you walk on this path to enlightenment, you need to keep a strong mind. Prepare yourself to endure this long journey alone. Be prepared for loneliness. Develop your ability to bear this hardship, for this ability is the key to victory in life. You must endure loneliness before you can achieve true success, for true success requires a time of solitude. A time of gaiety may come later, but loneliness always precedes success. How you live through these times of solitude determines your success." It's just what you said. How we live through any challenge or adversity is the measure of the growth of our soul. You say to polish your soul. I always say to refine, refresh, renew, remember. And all those ways are the way forward and the way we encourage not only ourselves to grow, but everybody within our vicinity who shares the energy that we give out and the love that we give out. So beautiful. Now you go on to talk about the poisons of the mind that Buddha talks about and how we can discard them. What are some of the poisons of the mind that stop us from self-development?
I see. So Buddha taught us three poisons of a mind. One is greed, and one is ignorance,
yes,
and one is anger. So these three poisons of mind always affect people's mind that leads to the negativity and the blaming other people and the blaming conditions that you are in. So greed is something that you want more, and this is mine, this is me, like that. Always subject is I, my, mine. So once you realize there is a heavenly word, and the only thing you can take is your mind, so you cannot attach those things. That's the one. And the anger, so it is also the same thing. You don't get, when you don't get something that you expected, you became, you know, anger.
Mm-hmm.
So you became angry.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you have attachments to it. So realizing the attachments always makes people unhappy and lead the people to the place where you are always wanting something, you're always angry, and you're always, feel excessive desires. And you have to realize that. And then if you have those negativity a lot, that attracts negative spiritual influences. Maybe you can call it evil spirits. And they cannot go to heaven, and they are residing in hell. So only energy they can be attracted is a negativity that people have on this earth. So you feel sometimes heavy on the shoulder. You sometimes have a headache, and the heavenly and the body. So those conditions that you are in means you may be affected by those negative spiritual influences. I think you, Cheryl, you know about those negative spiritual influences, don't you?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Many of my clients who come to me looking for Reiki have exactly the problems you just said. They have pain in their body, but something comes before that pain. And what it is a restlessness, I believe, of the soul to truly know themselves and to learn to control their mind. So we're going to go on to something that's very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness. And why does great kindness also lead to sorrow? So tell us, please, about kindness.
Okay. The kindness in Buddhism, maybe Buddha taught in this book, like having kindness in your heart is the greatest proof that you are a child of Buddha, or you can say God. And do not think too much about yourself. Do not think only of your own happiness. So that's the way for your happiness. So he also says success achieved on the middle way is always accompanied by humility and gratitude. So your success must not cause others to fail. Your successes must not bring unhappiness to others. Your path to success must nurture everybody. So that means I can say, if you can have gratitude and appreciation what you are given right now, I think it is easy for you to give kindness and the love or generosity to the people. So I think to give love again, you have to have appreciation and gratitude.
And I'd also like to read this. I found it very beautiful. True kindness leads to true sorrow. Many of your fellow human beings are experiencing great pain and suffering. Bound by their physical limitations, faced with many impediments to enlightenment, with few chances to attain spiritual awakening, they live lives of suffering. Animals and plants are suffering as well. When you see all the pain and suffering that fills this world, when you see the thorns that pierce people, it is only natural to want to remove the pain. To feel the pain and sadness of others and shed tears for them is to have great compassion, or as I say sometimes, great sorrow. These are the tears of Buddha's mercy. Let's go to this idea. What are the roots of religious conflict? There is so much done wrong in the name of religion and has
right.
been for such a very long time. Tell us about the roots of religious conflict.
Okay. I think regarding this point, Masaru Hokawa himself actually wrote in this book the sentences like this. In my quest for answers to these questions, I learned that God has sent a group of heavenly spirits at the start of every new age to give them fresh teachings that will guide people to happiness. These spirits have created many religions because they wish for us to have the kind of happiness that we can gain during our physical lives and then take with us to the afterlife. In a civilization experiment, many religious leaders were sent to us to create teachings for designated regions and ages. The differences in their personalities led to the variation among the different religions. Since God has created many religions to teach happiness, we can see common truths shared across many religions throughout the world and throughout history. We should not focus on the differences between ideologies. Instead, we should discover and appreciate the truths that are essential to all of our lives and that apply universally to everyone's happiness. It is essential that we develop a macro perspective on the world. For the broader world view is the key to discovering God's profound plan for humanity and finally bringing our world together in unity. One sentence that I'd like to add is if you read this book, The Message from Heaven, you will see that the father of Jesus and Elohim in the Old Testament and the eternal Buddha and Allah in Islam are the same existence,
The
which
same
means,
energy.
yeah,
Yes,
same energy.
good. Oh, well said, well said. I would like to thank you, Kiyoshi Shimada, for sharing Master Ryoho Okawa's book and spiritual messages with us today. For more information and to purchase this book, go to newyork.happyscience-na.org.
Yeah, and also spiritualinterview.com and okawabooks.com.
Thank you very much. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have discussed how it is possible to download information from spiritual energy. Many people are doing this already, and more can learn to do this. Look at various religious leaders and belief systems and begin to understand ourselves as both spiritual and physical beings moving past the limitations of a physical world reality and the poisons or illusions of the mind that limit the growth of unconditional love, self-investigation, and self-mastery of emotions, and making it possible for the development of unbounded compassion, health, vitality, and prosperity, and a greater view of universal source and the eternal nature of life. In my book, The Living Spirit: Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, I address these same thoughts and the need for unity and a cooperative world populace by writing, "Life is about loving what is, which is never perfect, just in a state of conscious change. If we forget about perfection and just be, we find love in our journey. Everything is perfect for self-discovery. Thus, perfection is the ability to accept imperfection. There is no normal or abnormal, and no one way to live, love, or develop our own personal paths. We are all dealing with wounds from this as well as previous incarnations, and as such are wounded citizens of the cosmos. The important thing to remember is that in this life we can make new choices that will release these traumas to create better health, more loving relationships, and find the connection to universal energy." We would both like to remind you to look to the future with new eyes and hopes for continuing to grow yourself and help the world to develop into a much more loving, unified community. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to learn more about spirituality, science, energy healing, spiritual communication, evolution, and to listen to authors who share their methods and evidence for attaining personal growth, supporting an understanding of our human and spiritual components. Shows may be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you for joining us.